This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. You're listening to Afternoons with Helen Farmer. It's all about living your best life.
On Dubai Eye 103.8.
Fantastic to have you with us for another episode of the Afternoons with Helen Farmer podcast. Get ready to get hungry because it's all about food. Jen Sahi was on hand talking about her trip to France, where she milked a cow, learned about butter, and then returned to Dubai to tell us about some new openings as well. We're giving you some ideas of things to do over Eid and some summer camps as well with the kids. Michelle from Kids App sharing a few bargains. We were discussing the latest news with Alberto Coelho, giving us a taste of Cuba, and I apologise for my Spanish pronunciations. Plus, Spiro from BB Social Dining and Little Greek Shop sharing some of the tales of his childhood, what his grandmother was making in Australia, keeping things traditional. And it was Chef Garcia, Portuguese born, but creating incredible steak frites at Bistro des Arts. He was on hand explaining how to make the perfect steak at home.
You're listening to Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Join the conversation on Dubai Eye 103.8.
And the conversation this afternoon is mostly going to be about food. One of my favourite things as we talk food news, the latest openings, giving you some deals as well. And joining us live on the line is Jane Sahi of Dubai Food Diaries. Jen, I need to ask you before we start talking food, what is your most used emoji? Are you curious to check it out now?
Yep, I just checked. It's the kissy face.
Kissy face.
I don't think that's accurate, though. I use the monkey with his hand over his eyes. I think I use that the most.
I use the monkey with his hand over his ears the other day because my children were giving me grief. I was wondering if yours were going to be foodie emojis because you are just back from France.
I am.
Oh, you know when
the cow
emoji.
I use those a lot.
You know, we're getting to that time of year where people are heading off, and this is where I start to kind of open Instagram with reluctance as I see people in beautiful places, you know, where there's weather, where there's green. So I was keeping an eye on your Instagram stories and it looked unbelievable. Tell us what took you to France, Jen.
So I went to learn all about butter with the French Dairy Board. And we visited some farms, we visited a couple of butter manufacturers, and of course restaurants, but it was amazing because I'm a city girl, so I haven't really been on the farm, I haven't ever milked a cow until now. And it was just really interesting to learn about the process, about some of these really handcrafted artisanal butters that actually are sold here in Dubai in the UAE. They use really traditional methods of making the butters. They do really small batch production. You have people who actually knead the butters by hand.
What?
They mold the butters by hand. And those are the products that you actually can buy in Spinneys.
Okay, I want to come back to the milking the cow, because did you do it? How was it?
Well, it was only one, like, a
squirt.
And yeah, it felt different to what I expected.
But I think, to be honest with you, butter is one of those ingredients. Whenever I speak to a chef about, you know, breaking down a dish, or if we're doing a cookery demonstration, it's always something, and then we just put a bit more butter in, and then we just add a bit of butter at the end for a silky feel, and then, you know, serve it with butter. Butter is better in almost every chef's handbook, unless they're, of course, vegan. What were some of the surprising things you learned on this trip that, you know, you might not realize if you haven't been down on the farm or in the factory?
Gosh, well, I mean, I've certainly never eaten as much butter in my life, like literally by the spoonful.
Wow.
So I've been trying to eat less sugar, and I think that some of these flavored butters are a really good substitute for, like, chocolate truffles.
Ooh.
So you should try it.
Man. Okay. Did you come back with a suitcase full of butter?
Yep, I did. All flavors.
And okay, and if I know someone's going to go, I don't want to say shopping for butter this weekend, because that's not what you do, but if you are in the supermarket, if you do happen to be in Spinneys, as you mentioned, what are some of the things you should be looking out for, whether that is an ingredients breakdown or brands or just something to make sure you're getting the really good stuff? Because when it's good, it's great.
We visited two different butter manufacturers, which are well known for being amongst the top butter brands, I guess, French butter brands, but really artisanal brand. So with one of them, they actually use wooden churns. So they use raw milk. We visited the farm and they take the warm milk, which apparently was how they produced it ages ago. That warm milk goes about 8 kilometers to the actual manufacturing facilities, and they make the butter within kind of 3 days.
Wow.
In these massive wooden churns, which is quite unusual. So I think that's the only French, that brand is called Bayvere, and you can get that one from Maison Dufour online. But that's the only French raw milk butter from France that you can get here in the UAE. And it's unpasteurized, so it's quite different, I suppose, to a lot of the other producers.
Jen, we're going to be speaking to chefs this afternoon. And one question I always ask, we're going to be asking Chef Garcia about what their kind of last meal on earth would be. And I always back and forth on this, but I always seem to come back to basically baguettes and butter. And you're doing nothing to sway me away from that. Honestly, I don't know if you must know Viking Bageri, our Swedish friend who has basically ruined my complete diet plan by offering a baguette subscription. So every Saturday morning, I get a knock on the door and it's the guys from Freedom because they've teamed up with them for delivery and it's two fresh baguettes.
And so this is what you have to do. Ready?
You tell me.
So go to Spinney's or Classic Deli online and get this. It's called Le Bourbordier. I'm probably mangling that French pronunciation.
Apologies to any French people listening.
They have the most amazing Madagascar vanilla butter. It's slightly sweet. It's so delicious.
Okay.
And take that and eat it with your bread.
Okay. And then I'm going to have to cancel the subscription because I'm supposed to be climbing Kilimanjaro in a few months.
Join the conversation on Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Talking food this afternoon, Jen Sahi of Dubai Food Diaries with us. She's fresh back from France with a suitcase full of butter. And you're back to find, actually, we've had quite a few new openings here in Dubai, which is surprising in some ways, given that we are still during pandemic times and it's the summer when things do tend to slow down. But yet we are still seeing people striking out and starting something new and fresh. And you went somewhere new for breakfast this morning, Jen. Where were you?
I did. I was at a cafe called Java in Wassel 51.
So Wassel 51 is the one kind of on Al Wassel, obviously. Turn right, Life Pharmacy, and it's kind of towards Satra on the left-hand side. I've only been to brunch and cake there. I went there for my, I think for Valentine's Day, actually. It was a very photogenic cafe.
Okay, so that's a long time ago.
Ages ago. So so tell us about Java.
Java, it's a Mediterranean restaurant. It's based on, so the name Java comes from Jaffa in Palestine, and where there are a lot of oranges, and so you see oranges and citrus fruit appear on the menu. But you have breakfast, lunch, dinner, coffee. They use Cypher coffee there. But generally, Wassel 51 is just fantastic for food. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite places is Orfali Brothers.
I still haven't been, and everyone's saying it's being truly booked out. So I need to get the name on the list. What was the best thing you ate this morning at Java? What would be your must order dish?
Must order. They had a couple of really interesting salads with oranges. So one was, they called it a orange carpaccio, but it was oranges, normal oranges, blood oranges, with onion, which I love, pomegranate seeds, that kind of thing. And then there was another salad, which had spinach, more oranges, Nabulsi cheese.
Never heard of it. What is it?
It was kind of like, almost like a halloumi, but this one was a lot softer and milder. So it kind of tasted a little bit like tofu.
Okay.
Like it had a texture of tofu, like firm tofu.
So a less squeaky halloumi.
Less squeaky, yes.
Got you. But it's interesting. I just read an article last night about kind of how to up your salad game. This is who I am. This is what I've turned into. Thursday nights, you know, hanging out, reading salad articles. But talking about the power of a good dressing. And since reading it, and I'm 100%, I love a salad dressing. I absolutely love it. Some of my favorites, Circle Cafe does a really good one for their crunchy noodle chicken salad. But one of the ones I recommended today was simple honey mustard. So honey, mustard, and like a red grape vinegar. But all about that balance of sweet, salty, sour, because a good salad dressing can really make your mouth water. A pomegranate molasses, as we have here, some of the beautiful fattoushes. So, okay, so for a good salad, you reckon Java could be a could be the one
at
the moment.
Yeah, it's definitely a place you could meet your friends for breakfast or lunch, for sure.
And on to Incognito. For anyone who's not familiar, can you explain a little bit about these guys and what they're up to?
So Incognito is a restaurant that used to be in El Circle, El Circle Avenue. And they had a burger pop-up in the back. And now the burger pop-up has actually moved to a proper restaurant facility in Wassel 51. And I actually went there about 2 weeks before opening. I thought they had opened already and walked in and they were using the space as an office or something like that.
You're like, hi, can I have a burger, please?
2 weeks later. I thought, wow, a lot of people are using this as workspace.
What makes a burger special? Because as you say, it was this kind of just a pop-up, you know, Chef Adrian was like, yeah, well, you know, we'll do burgers for an event. And then it's become kind of the star of the show. And there was a super limited menu. They're only, I think, maybe doing 3 burgers out of El Circle.
Yeah.
What's the menu like now?
Actually, I haven't checked yet.
Oh, we need to go.
So, okay. Yes, definitely.
On it.
So it's on the list.
So Inc, and we should be clear, it's I-N-K because it was Inc that was in El Circle. So Incognito, and that's at Wassel 51 as well. Interesting.
Correct.
This is close to where I live. I can do a little foodie tour. And over the weekend, there are some cool new delivery concepts. Anything that you think we should be ordering in if we're having a couple of lazy nights in this weekend, Jen?
Okay, so there's some really interesting delivery concepts out there. I have to say, the one that is the most interesting to me, I'm not sure if I'm going to like it, but the one that's the most interesting to me. Do you know Cute Bread Boy?
Yes, I do know. I don't know Cute Bread Boy personally, but I know who he is. Yes.
Well, I guess he's no longer Cute Bread Boy, but still, that name will forever remain. But he's just opened a delivery concept called Yuzuma, which sounds really interesting.
Yuzuma.
Where they,
okay,
it's kind of like Japanese meets Arabic fusion shawarmas.
Oh, right. That sounds,
yes,
that sounds delicious. And it's delivery only?
I believe it's delivery only. They deliver from the marina area, so they might not deliver to you. But they have things like chicken shawarma with kimchi or,
ooh,
falafel with miso and yuzu and pomegranate molasses.
Sold.
Or shawarmas with yuzu kosho. So they really use a lot of these Japanese ingredients like yuzu, furikake, togarashi, all of those kinds of kimchi. Well, okay, that's not Japanese, but still. Asian ingredients.
That sounds really interesting. As you say, you know, it's hard to say if it'll be a hit or a miss in reality, but I love the idea of putting those influences together. So that's available now, but as you say, delivery only, and at this end of town. Maybe they bring it to work. Not home, but maybe I could order it for lunch on Sunday.
And the price points are quite good. They're kind of like a 30 to 40 dirham price point per wrap.
Brilliant. Sold.
So definitely worth trying. Easy to try.
And anything else you think we should be trying over the weekend? It's your last chance to make us hungry, Jen.
Yep. So there's two things. One is Morsh by K. So you probably know Morsh by K, who started up a supper club during lockdown.
We spoke last week about her new delivery concept, which I love the idea of. Zero waste, leftovers going to composting, working with local farms, and working on packaging and cutting down on... Because that's my... One of my kind of big bugbears about getting takeouts, even if you kind of click the no cutlery, please, sometimes you end up with a drawer full of knives
always.
And forks.
Exactly. So that's definitely one. And then you must have seen Izu Burgers launched.
I have.
So again, it's literally one burger. Oh. So you can choose between two different breads. You can choose your meat, whether you want Canadian beef, whether you want Australian Wagyu. And the thing that's really interesting to me, the sauces are barbecue and or tartar sauce.
Tartar sauce?
So it must be good. Exactly. It must be good because it's easy, right? But it's, you know, that it's not ground beef. It's slices of beef. So you choose whether you want your classic potato bun or a milk baguette they have. So it's your sliced beef, Emmental, barbecue sauce, and tartar sauce.
Oh, my goodness.
I think that's such an interesting combination.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it's meant to be together or separate or what, but...
In Chef Izu, we trust. So this is Izu Burger. It's on Deliveroo.
Yep.
His whole thing is about dirty clean. So it's about doing like dirty food, but with really exceptional ingredients. Milk baguette burger. I am all over this. Okay.
Yeah.
Jen.
And it's a 45 dirham price point. So it's also really accessible.
Are there fries? Is there the cheesecake?
Yes, there is. Passion fruit cheesecake. And there's one,
sold,
the easy fries.
Okay. Jen, thank you so much. Your work here is done. You've sorted out my weekend. Wishing you a wonderful one ahead. Thank you so, so much.
You too.
Have a good one. So let us know the last great thing you ate. I've got a feeling the Easy Burger is going to be the next great thing I do eat. Diana's saying homemade pizza dough, baked shrimps, sun-dried tomatoes and homemade pesto. Can't fly to Italy, so bringing Italy home. Mike said last night at Folly for Scott's last service. I know. Quail, parsnip, hoisin. Amazing. That sounds incredible.
This is Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Join the conversation
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Many of us are about a week into the summer holidays, and I don't know about you, but my nerves are pretty frazzled. The kids, you know, we're gonna try and do a show on this over the next few days because mine have not stopped asking for snacks. They're not hungry. They're just bored. So we're going to try and beat the boredom with you this afternoon. And joining us live on the line is Michelle from Kids Mobile App. That's Kids with a Q, with some great bargains, some summer camps, some deals to be had over Eid as well. Michelle, how are you?
Hi, Helen. How you doing?
I'm well. What's your most used emoji, Michelle?
Well, do you know what? It can go from one extreme to the other. It could be a love heart, or it could be the face palm. It could be the muscle for smashing it. You never know. Depends on my mood.
Apparently, the laugh crying emoji is the world's most popular. Grace has just sent me three. And judging by the messages...
I can believe that.
Yeah, I can too. It seems to deal with, you know, seems to solve a lot of emoji issues. For me, the face palm one has been quite popular this week because I've been unwell, my little one's been unwell, and it's just been one of those weeks where I'm like, oh, can you just give me a break? And today's the first day I've started to feel better. I was on air yesterday, honestly, with all the medication. I don't really remember the show.
I do, to be honest. But I'm so glad that you're feeling better. I'm so pleased.
It's been miserable. But honestly, getting the kids out and about has been a bit of a lifesaver. I've sent them off to netball camp the last couple of mornings and they've come back shattered, which I think is the key for many a parent. It's about striking the balance between getting kids tired, but not overtired, so they're foul. So let's, because it's Eid, of course, next week as well. So a lot of us going to be off, which is great. Can we talk a little bit about any special events, activities, activations happening over the Eid break for the whole family?
Yeah, sure thing. I mean, yeah, I'm so glad that I can be here to help you out with the kids' boredom thing because, you know, you're exactly right. You know, the kids get bored. They want to eat. They want a snack. They want to do something. They become upset.
So destroy the house.
I'm so pleased.
Hit each other. Yeah. Just my house? No. Nodding along across Dubai, I'm sure.
Literally, everyone's in unison right now, just nodding along saying, yep. So I'm really pleased that I can hopefully help you out with some of our suggestions. You know, there's a lot of things. Eid is next week. There's a lot of things going on across Dubai. One of the things that is really, really popular at the moment is the view at the Palm.
Michelle, tell me about this, because I went to the Kiel Mall the other day and I saw past signs for it and I was just there to pick up some things. So I wasn't actually kind of, you know, mooching around the mall. I was on a bit of a mission. But I saw signs for view at the Palm and I had no idea what it was. And the next thing I know, I opened my Instagram and a friend's posting photos of these incredible views of the Palm. Yes. So I kind of put two and two together. What exactly is it?
So yeah, it's amazing. It's so basically you can go up to the observation deck on the 52nd floor of the Palm Tower, which is next to Nakheel Mall. You can actually you can enter it from Nakheel Mall itself as well. So yeah, you can get to go to an interactive museum. You can learn all about how the Palm was created, and then of course up on the observation deck you can see indoors or outdoors, which I think indoors would be nicer right now because it's very, very hot out there. But yeah, you can just see stunning views of the Palm and wider surrounding areas. Yeah, but it's absolutely beautiful. It's Instagram heaven. So yeah, and kids under four go for free, by the way.
Okay, so it's ticketed. How much is a ticket? Especially if you book it through Kids App, have you got a deal on it?
On Kids Mobile App, we have a deal right now. It's usually $69, but it's down to $57.
There you go. All right. So that's a good one for indoor fun. And there's loads in the Kiel Mall as well in terms of things to do. My kids are obsessed with Bricklandia. It's like the Lego building shop
that's
in there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and
do you know what's lovely about it, to be honest, is it's so calm. You go in and there's no music. It's just kids building. It's what I find really useful. It's my kids looking at the Lego sets that I will refuse to buy them because they're too expensive, but they can look at them and they can play with them. And then everything's just very calm and very clean. And I booked through you guys about a month ago, so it was buy one, get one free, I think. And it was either 2 hours for the price of an hour or two kids for the price of one kid in an hour. And by the way, you can leave them there and go and do a bit of a shop and then come back. That's a great one.
And do you know what the best thing about that is, Helen? You can walk away from the mess also.
Yes.
So I've seen, you know, I know you've been organizing your Legos at home, so I know that.
The secret's out. I have been spending a lot of time organizing Lego. I'd like to say by brick. Not by colour.
Exactly.
It was very controversial on my Instagram DMs. But let me tell you, organising by brick has been life-changing. So judge all you like.
Oh, listen, it's the way forward. But yeah, the thing about Brick of Valencia is that you can literally leave the nest there and just pick up the kids and off you go.
Right. Michelle is with us this afternoon from Kids Mobile App, giving you ideas for things to do with the kids over the weekend, over the summer, and over Eid as well.
Join the conversation on Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
On Dubai Eye, 103.8.
Michelle joining us from Kids Mobile App. That's Kids with a Q. They team up with Dubai's and the UAE's most exciting attractions, events, and offer some reduced prices. I've just spotted earlier today, Michelle, you've got a flash sale on Wild Wadi at the moment for anyone who's looking to cool off.
Yes, we do.
And summer camps, as I said, mine have been dispatched this morning to do three hours of netball. They came back absolutely shattered. So when it comes to summer camps, a lot of them are on a bit of a rolling basis. It's not like you need to lock yourself in for, you know, 2 months. Sometimes it's a week here or a day there. Which ones are proving to be popular right now when it comes to keeping the kids out and entertained?
Yeah, you know, you've got a great point there. You know, we have to have flexibility for really busy families, especially this time, you know, of year. It's Eid, they might have other plans as well. So we try to have a good assortment of, you know, whether it's daily, weekly, monthly, etc. I mean, there's loads on the app itself, but I've just kind of picked one or two daily ones that allows that flexibility for busy families as well. One of the ones that is proving really popular at the moment is Velocity, which you'll know is in Al Quds. So Velocity, you can have your 1 day, there's other options there on the app. But there's two different sessions as well. So you can choose, you know, for busy families, it's great that you can choose your timings as well. There's 9 to 1 or there's 2 to 6. And the ages for that are 4 to 12 years old. So you can do everything from Zumba, football, yoga, trampolines, all of that kind of thing.
It's a massive space, Velocity. They've got cricket nets there. They've got you know, five-a-side football upstairs. They've got this kind of edutainment interactive section and all the soft play that, you know, your heart could desire.
Yes.
One other one for summer camps before we move on to some of your best deals.
Another good one would be, have your kids join the circus. Sharm Circus School in Dubai.
Yes, I'll send them off to join the circus. That sounds incredible. Do they need to have any skills, or they're just going to be the clowns that they are?
They will learn all the skills there. You know, they can learn the trapeze, the gymnastics, juggling, fire and dance. You can do the aerial hoops, everything. They'll teach everything. And that's from 3 to 13 years old.
Wow, brilliant. Okay, this is all on the app. So if anyone wants to message me, we will send out the details as well on 4001. And Michelle, looking ahead then, I think everyone, it's the middle of the month, everyone's thinking about either saving some money or just being a bit conservative with their cash. I mentioned the Wild Wadi flash sale that you've got on at the minute. Is there anything that you think is a real bargain on the app right now? Because, you know, let's be honest, when we are thinking about some of the big attractions, you know, your theme parks or your water parks, it is a big spend. And yes, we can save, but it's, you know, they're often going to be a bit of a treat. But wherever we can save some cash is always gratefully received. Where are the big savings to be had right now, do you think?
You know, there's a couple happening over the next few days, actually. Well, the Smurfs are at City Walk just until the 17th. So you've got a day or two left. And actually, if you're out shopping at City Walk and if you spend 100 dirhams at any of the outlets, you can go into the Smurf Sphere for free. So, which is really cool. So that could help you save some dirhams.
And in terms of some of the favourites, I know you've always got deals for things like Kidzania, the aquarium. Where else is proving popular? I always find it interesting to see kind of where people are spending and where people are going through the app.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. Dubai Aquarium is always a really popular one. So that has a good deal of 95 dirhams at the moment, which is great on the app. And then also another good one that a lot of people maybe don't think of. But if you want to host a private screening for your bubble of friends and family, you can do that. So you can rent a private cinema at Roxy Cinemas. It's a minimum of 20 people, but you obviously will be very well spread out within a cinema all to yourselves. And that's proving really, really good. And that's, it works out at about 85 per person.
That's a really nice kind of party idea as well.
It's a lovely family day out. And really, really nice.
We've been to see, because honestly, I love the cinema just for the chance to sit in the dark and the quiet. My kids will watch anything as long as they've got a steady stream of caramel popcorn. But over the last couple of weeks, we went to see Luca, which is the new Pixar film. It is gorgeous. It made me want to go to Italy immediately, which is not possible right now. So I might go back and see Luca again. Even the soundtrack's gorgeous. It's about kind of community of sea creatures who are human when they're dry. And it's about two boys and their friendship. It's just a stunning, stunning film. So that's a lovely one if you are going to go to the cinema. And we went to see the new Boss Baby last week, which it was fine, for a couple of hours. So that's at Roxy, and you can book the whole thing. I love that.
Yeah, you can do the private screening, and it's a minimum of 20 people. And then, you can get the whole place to yourself.
Michelle, before I let you go, a number of people asking, can you repeat the name of the circus camp, please?
Sure thing. It's Charm Circus School.
Charm Circus School. Okay, I will send that out to anybody who needs that. Just get in touch on 4001. All of this available through kids_UAE on Instagram, and you can shop the sales and download the app as well. Michelle, thank you so, so much. Wishing you a wonderful Eid break. Hope you get some time off. And we'll talk to you very soon, because I know as the seasons change, there's always new offers and new things opening and new things to talk about. So always appreciate you sharing the bargains with us here on Dubai i103.8. Oh, I want to go to Italy now. I want to go back to cinema and watch Luca.
You're listening to Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Join the conversation on Dubai i103.8.
In my mind, I am in Cuba with swaying palms and pastel buildings and maybe even a little cigar smoke on the background and the back burner. But no, I'm here in Media City. But giving us a taste of that good life, we have got the GM of Rumba, Berta, joining us live on the line. And it looks like you are in Cuba, from what I can see on Microsoft Teamster. Where are you?
Actually, this is a full Havana inside here.
With where? In fake Havana?
No, this is a true Havana inside. It's a true feeling, huh?
It looks...
When you cross the door, it's like you are in the old Havana.
Isn't that, do you know what, it's interesting you should say that, because I think about this a lot when it comes to Dubai restaurants, and it's a terrible thing to say, but sometimes the best nights I've had is when you come home and you go, I didn't even feel like I was in Dubai. You've had that sense of escape and just complete change of scene, and I think it can be the sign of a really fun night out, to be honest. So tell us a little bit about what's happening at Rumba on the Palm. For anyone who hasn't had Cuban food, what are some of your star dishes?
Actually, our food is not just only Cuban. So it's a mix of Latin American. My chef, I have a mix of chef from Peru, from Mexico. But this is the first time we include in the menu like truly, truly Cuban food, authentic Cuban food, I think, in Dubai. I have been around for 10 years, more or less, in Dubai. I have visited, it's supposed to, Cuban restaurant, but I never tried something really authentic. So, and this time, Rumba is bringing this to Dubai. It's bringing authenticity. It's bringing the true flavors of Cuba mixed with Latin America. Well, so it's just that. Very simple, homey taste, very good approach to spices, and it's a really homey food.
Well, last week, we had Chef Francesco joining us from Roberto's restaurant, and we were talking about our favourite Dubai dishes, and he gave a big shout-out to Rumba's guacamole. So I want to know, what is in it? Because I understand you've got three guacs on the menu. The top one sounds spectacular. Talk to us about how you make your guac so darn special.
So there is no trick on it. It's just you have to put a lot of love when you're squeezing when you're squeezing the guac. That's it. Good product, and you have to put the really the real balance in between salty acidity, and in that case we add some other ingredients just to enhance the flavor, like manchego cheese and skirt steak in the Rumba one. So we have as well the habanero one, which is really spicy. So it's a combination of habanero paste, homemade here, and we have the traditional one, which is the best seller.
So this is your traditional tomato.
There's nothing on it. No, nothing special. It's just a good quality avocado, very well done, very well seasoned, and combined by all the flavors of Latin America. So in this case, as a special, we are not doing it with the tortilla chips. So we are putting fried plantains. We are putting tapioca chips. We are putting potato chips. So we are changing a little bit the approach to a classic Mexican with Latin American stuff.
Guacamole served with skirt steak sounds incredible. So this is Rumba on the Palm, a bit of a party spot and some great food as well. It's on my list. It's very much on my list. We are here to talk about the latest food news, though, and something that caught my eye, not often for the right reasons, is where people try and break records for making the most expensive this or the most elaborate, luxurious that. And in Serendipity 3, which is in Manhattan, weirdly, I have been to it because they do this kind of crazy hot chocolate. The chef there has created a world record for the most expensive French fries. I've got very mixed feelings about this. $200, 730 dirhams for a portion of French fries. They've got cage-free goose fat, 23-carat edible gold, and, of course, loads of truffle. Can I ask you, but as you say, you've been in Dubai 10 years. I'm sure you've seen your fair share of gold-coated steaks, coffees, chocolates, and more. Is this just a bit of a PR spin, trying to get in the news, people like us talking about it on the radio, of course, or is this something that chefs actually do care about, using the best ingredients, and the price just happens to be a byproduct of that?
Actually, in my opinion, for example, in our cuisine here, we are using the best ingredients. It doesn't have to be that expensive. Mm-hmm. So we are using just it's a true taste. It's a something authentic. You have to use, of course, the best ingredient, but at the same time, you need to price it now. So in that case, Rumba, we are doing something very, is it casual? Something very fair. Mm-hmm. For our guests when they come here. So you have a great dish with varieties of flavors you cannot imagine. And when you see the portions and you see the prices, you get amazed. No? So you feel like, well, I have to come back to this place for that.
The gold coating on the guacamole. Good.
Yeah, very simple, humble. I'm near to the floor.
good to know. We want to know from you this afternoon the last great thing you ate. For me, I made my mum's special pasta last night, which is always guaranteed if I'm feeling a bit sick. Can I ask you, sir, what was the last great thing you ate? Now, the one rule, Roberto, is you can't say it's from Rumba. It's got to be something that maybe you made at home or another restaurant
That will be difficult because I spent almost all day here.
Breakfast, lunch and dinner, Cuban style. I'll go on then. What was the last great thing you ate? Something that you feel like you want to shout about from the rooftops?
I made yesterday night at home, just a seafood pasta.
Yes, pasta. See, we're all craving some comfort foods.
Join the conversation on Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Only on Dubai i103.8.
We are talking food and maybe a little bit of travel too. We're going to Cuba. Alberto joining us from Rumba on the Palm. Hope you're having a great afternoon. We're getting you in the mood for food. And honestly, I find it very interesting to speak to industry insiders such as GMs like Alberto, to chefs as well, about how they spend their downtime. Do you, Alberto, find yourself watching shows about food? Do you find yourself gravitating on Netflix to things like Chef's Table or Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat? Or do you try and put all of the industry aside when you're off duty?
No, definitely. I go through Netflix. I think I have seen all the shows,
Yeah,
all of them.
me too. It's been saying everything, and I do everything with Anthony Bourdain. Yes, Anthony Bourdain's incredible, absolutely amazing. And there's loads on Amazon Prime. You can go back in the catalogue there and watch his travels, watch his cooking. Ugly Delicious by David
Amazing.
Chang is also good as well. I haven't watched that one yet. It's been popping up on my algorithm. That's on Netflix as well. But for me, I loved Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat. Just amazing. What about you? What do you think goes into a good, what makes a good chef? Because sometimes they're amazing in the kitchen, but might not be good on TV. So have you met any in your time that you would keep a well away from the cameras?
Yeah, definitely. And some of them, they are very shy. They
Oh,
are really talented in the
really?
kitchen, but they try to be hidden all the time.
Interesting. Because we think of chefs being, big characters, kind of quite domineering and powerful. But yeah, perhaps it's more of a quiet creativity that attracts some of them as well. So tell us then a little bit about the menu over at Rumba, because there's been a plant-based boom. Apparently more Americans are changing their diet, becoming, quote, vegan curious. One in five saying their diet is dramatically different to what it was 5 years ago. Well, how do you feel like Dubai is reflecting that in its menus and even at Rumba? You're getting more people coming in who are meat-free?
Yes, definitely. That's why we create a section in the menu which we call it carne free, which is so carne is obviously meat in Spanish. So and we have already some guests which like really really fan of. For example, our sticky barley is an amazing. So imagine it's half of the vegetable, but it's a rice which completely. Flavor of from Peru with ají amarillo cooked in with the rice and some cream, and it's amazing. It's an explosion of flavors, and it's one of our best sellers, and it's incredible that it's not meat at all inside, no?
I think a lot of chefs in years gone by might have rolled their eyes at people asking for certain things to be taken out, or certain, dietary or even allergies. The more chefs I speak to now actually see it as a bit of an opportunity to be creative, to push themselves, to come up with interesting substitutes, jackfruit instead of, pulled meat, and, talking there about sticky barley. And I think we are seeing a real shift in the way that chefs view meat-free cooking. So we'll ask Chef Gathia of Bistro des Arts, who is known for his steaks after 4 o'clock, about that. Now the time has come, Alberto. As I said earlier, I learned Spanish in middle school. I was 13. So I can
That was just yesterday, no?
it was just 10 years ago. So I would love you to teach us some key Spanish phrases if we're going out and about for ordering or telling a chef just how fantastic the food is. Can you help us out?
So it's complicated, no? Because if you want to make it really, really, really excited, it's how can I say it? In Spanish, I would be like a chef. La comida fue excelente.
Okay.
So it means just the food was wonderful, no?
And would you say, like, what's delicious? How complicated is that?
How delicious! If you make it in proper Cuban, like, it will be, oye, la comida está buenísima, qué rico.
That's not happening. I cannot roll my R's. Simply, honestly, I cannot. There are some things in some languages that I'm like, I'm out. It is not happening. But anyone else is more than welcome to send us a voice note or give us a call on 04871 5500 and demonstrate their Spanish skills. So over the weekend, chef, if we're coming in, what are we ordering? What do you feel like you haven't had the true rumba experience if you haven't eaten? Put together your dream meal for us. I can see you.
In the menu, I have a dish we call it ropa vieja. It's a combination of so many flavors together in a plate. And actually, it's the real taste of Cuba. It's, I would say, like, it's a national dish. So you have your shredded beef. Mm-hmm. In this case, we're using brisket. You have your rice and beans cooked together. So you have your plantain, you have your avocado, you have your pickled onion. So there is so many flavors in one dish. It's impossible to miss this in Rumba. It's one of our best sellers.
And what's the name
That's
of it?
That's a perfect meal. Sorry, say again?
What's it called? Sorry?
Ropa vieja.
Okay.
Meaning is old clothes.
Old clothes? What?
Yeah, in Spanish it's ropa vieja.
What does it
mean? Ropa vieja.
What? I don't understand. What does it mean?
Sorry, that would be translation. Old clothes.
Why though? I don't understand. What's the connection?
I think it's because the look of the shredded beef is like old clothes. You ripped the clothes.
Okay, right. Well, it sounds delicious, even if the name is a bit misleading. Shredded beef, pickled onions, avocado. Oh my goodness! Right, you're on the palm.
It's kind the concrete plantain.
It's kind of on my way home. If I do a 20-minute detour, I can make it up the palm before I get home. Thank you so much for making tummies rumble this afternoon. Really appreciate it, Alberto. I know Thursday afternoons are busy for you in the food business. So I'm going to let you get back to service. Get you back to Little Havana. That corner of Cuba here in Dubai, Rumba is open on the palm.
This is Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Join the conversation
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Talking food this afternoon, and we love picking the brains and indeed exploring the kitchen of industry insiders. And joining us this afternoon, we have got Spiro Panagatis. He is the co-owner, co-founder of BB Social Dining in DIFC. And we're going to be talking Greek. Spiro, how are you?
Yasu Helen, how are you?
I'm good. What's your most used emoji, sir? Or are you not allowed to share it on the radio?
No, it's coming soon. It's coming soon.
So, how are you? I can see you on Microsoft Teams. Are you in BB now? Where are you?
Yes, currently in BB, on my way to Time Out Market, and then back for a little bit of Greek entertainment for the evening as well. So we've managed to give ourselves, very occupied throughout COVID, to come out of COVID and see customers, which is the most amazing thing about where we are today. We're alive.
We are. And do you know what? What has been really wonderful is to see restaurants such as BB not just continuing and being able to open their doors post-lockdown, but also new projects. You mentioned the Time Out Market there, where BB has got its... I don't know, do you call it a kiosk, a booth, an outlet? What are you calling it for anyone who hasn't been and seen?
Yeah, we act as effectively as a kiosk, and there's 17 of us in total celebrating what we call the homegrown concepts, or award-winning homegrown concepts in a major city, and that's how the market operates. And it's a great, honestly, it's so refreshing to see, and I think it's a perfect, not because we are there, this is me not, we don't want to be biased, of course, but we're very pleased to be there, because as an idea, where we're such a big melting pot of sort of, let's call them, designs and restaurants of different cultures and types of cuisines, that you can't get bored, you know. Sometimes people don't want to go to the same restaurant once a week, but when you go to Time Out Market, you've got 17 restaurants to choose from every single time you go. So really, it's great for all demographics. It's not limited at all to anyone.
We went for lunch a few weeks ago with the family, and I got my Brussels sprouts, obviously, and bao from you guys. My husband got his Pitfire pizza. The kids had some chicken from Pickle, and we shared some mac and cheese from Hatamata. And yeah, you're right. It's just like a celebration of great food that's all together, and it's got a really fun vibe as well. So it's brilliant that was able to open during such a challenging time. And you've also got the Little Greek Shop. Now, you are Greek Australian. Tell us about the Little Greek Shop, because your Instagram has made me mega hungry over the last couple of weeks, even though I don't really understand what I'm looking at.
Right. Well, I hope the translation that was there is in support of at least the description. So the Little Greek Shop was with BB being a smaller format than the typical Dubai formatted restaurants, we created a little food company which effectively has a little taste of our cultures. And the little Greek shop, okay, being born in Australia with very sort of deep Greek roots, where at the household it was Greek in the house. You're going to learn English one way or the other in the outside world, but in this house it's going to be Greek. So the actual traditions of the culture resonated right at the beginning. And since the age of 12, when I was in Greece, at the time with my father, the idea of running restaurants, bizarrely enough, don't ask me how this happened at the age of 12, but that's when it kicked into gear. And you know what, as you grow up and as you sort of manage to open up your first restaurant, then you give a lot of ideas as to what could be the next. And I don't like using these words, trends, to be honest, because if I look at the Greek shop, okay, the right product for the market is always and should always be there, because in a major city such as Dubai, we're such a melting pot of cultures, and we're trying to develop friendships, relationships, and growing families. Mm-hmm. But again, we don't want to lose effectively where we started from. So the little Greek shop really is just a resemble of, or let's call it a bit of a picture of my life in general, in support of business partner Alex, who's great on the culinary, that supports every single element of, it's not just my idea, it's how you work with people to deliver a little bit of tradition into sometimes a city that you might get sort of a bit blindfolded as to what am I, who am I again. Mm-hmm.
So it's you going back to your roots and sharing what you grew up eating as well, what you were taught. As I said, it looks amazing from, well, I guess kind of Greek donuts, custard filled phyllo pastry. You've got it all. But how can you get your hands on it? What's the concept when it comes to actually eating at the little Greek shop?
Well, we've gone since COVID, of course, back, say, 3-4 years ago. 6 years ago, the concept came about for us to develop one day and turn it into bricks and mortar. Obviously, over the last year or two, that was not a very wise idea to go up and crack open another restaurant. Mm-hmm. Obviously under that sort of duress. So the idea going forward for us, even as a core principle as a business, is we want to do things from the inside out. So give back to the city of Dubai, which has welcomed us across the board, and develop, say, for example, now the Greek shop. Give it back to the people, but buy locally. You know, whatever you do, however we can sustain going forward, can only work if we support the local community and support the local businesses that actually create the community itself at large. So to buy the little Greek shop, currently we have it available on the aggregator platform, or order directly to us through WhatsApp. So the actual restaurant sits as a satellite brand, and our whole goal was to say, stay humble. You need pennies to make pounds. The great British, I'm sure. Helen, that
you sound really like my dad, you, sounding right? Just like my dad.
Yeah.
We're talking Greek this afternoon. Spiro with us from Little Greek Shop, and indeed BB's as well.
Join the conversation on Afternoons with Helen Farmer
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Spiro is the co-owner, co-founder of BB Social Dining in DIFC. I was there just last week for my birthday. And he's also the man behind Little Greek Shop. When we are talking Greek food, it is all Greek to me. I can barely pronounce it, Spiro. So you are going to be here as our guide. Can you tell us about some of the dishes that you were eating growing up and who was making them?
Well, obviously, as a youngster, my parents had migrated back in 1960 when they left Greece. We grew up as my grandparents as well on my mother's side back in 1942. So back in those days, to be honest with you, Helen, it was the Greek principle behind them stayed very strong as a culture. And Australia, being basically the third largest population of Greece outside Greece, with over 500,000 first generation Greeks there. So we grew up in a traditional way. My father's palate is actually quite, it's very clean. I'll call it that. I don't want to use the word boring, which actually sort of also goes towards the Greek diet, where a lot of sort of health and doctors sort of refer to the olive oil diet.
Mediterranean diet.
The Mediterranean diet, I guess across the board, we're just too proud because we love our Greek olive oil, so we call it the Greek diet, you see. And where the speciality came from was through its simplicity and the sourcing of fresh products. Every Greek who also left Greece and went to Australia, first thing they did was make sure they had a vegetable garden at the back. So if they don't have their tomatoes and the cucumbers, it's not a Greek house at all. And who's got the better tomato than the other to make the Greek salad?
Really? did it get personal? Were lines family, drawn? Wards being given?
Families would break up through this, which is absolutely hilarious in the day of age where we are now. But I think it's you know, being proud of sort of bringing the ideas and the values from Greece to another country was more sort of the way forward. So the traditional Greek salad was 99% on the table with us at home. My mother used to love more on the baking side of things from traditional dishes such as pasticcio, which is, let's call it, a Greek form of lasagna, which again, that was a fantastic dish that you could have and share as a family. So, you know, you couldn't come home and eat early. You couldn't come home and not eat. The Greek traditions is we sit down as a family, we eat as a family, and we eat Greek, right? So the great movie, the Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yes.
You've seen, I mean, I laugh every single time I watch, because I laugh and I also cry, because that's how we did grow up. We didn't have the Greek flag on the garage door, thankfully, for that, because otherwise we would have been run out of Australia, I'd say. But these elements where eating together, sharing together, is definitely a great tradition. That this is what we love about today. So
what was it like? What was it like then when you went to friends' houses for dinner or to, you know, after school, and you were exposed to foods that you weren't eating at home that were kind of considered, I guess, just like Aussie cuisine?
It was a tough childhood. I don't want to say Australia had a bit of sort of, it was definitely not a racist country whatsoever, but it was very challenging culturally, because everybody was in that period of time in the 60s in Australia. It was a growing country, and who packed the bigger punch in their cuisine, but imposing their cuisine on you was always a weekly thing. And I don't say poor old Australia, but Australia didn't stand up and say, this is our cuisine. Australia basically said, we don't have a direct cuisine because it's a mix of cultures. And I said to them, let's stick with the meat pie. You know, it's very traditional in the UK, but because everyone wanted to be an Australian, defining Australia as a food culture was quite tough. Whereas now, 40 years down the track, it's been recognized worldwide as one of the sort of leading countries for cuisine and adaption. So the Greek society in Australia was very, very strong in terms of its cuisine. The whole reason where its strength came across was because of its value for money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're trying to ensure, that what we do deliver here from the little Greek shop, before it does become bricks and mortar, is to ensure that what you pay for is not going to hurt your pocket. And you know what? The delivery business is very tough, very, very tough here in Dubai, and became even 10 times tougher due to COVID and the demand on delivery. So we're trying to ensure that the products that we do serve on the delivery model so far, at least they can travel well. You can't unfortunately do all of them well, but you know, making sure that the packaging allows for enough sort of ventilation to ensure that the crispiness at the end of the product is there for you.
Spiro, so, I've had a number of people message on 4001 saying how to order. So if you will share that phone number with Maria, our producer, anyone can message me on 4001 and I will reply with the WhatsApp if anyone wants to order from the Little Greek Shop. Spiro, thank you so, so much. I'm going to let you get back to your busy Thursday afternoon, off to Time Out Market, back to BB later, some Greek entertainment after that, no doubt. Have a wonderful weekend ahead. I'm sure I'll see you at one of the many spots, and you've left us very hungry indeed.
The Chef's Table.
We are talking food this afternoon and delighted to be discussing all things steak with Portuguese chef, Chef Garcia, the head chef at Bistro des Arts, joining us live on the line. Chef, how are you?
Hey, how are you? Fine. And how is the things there?
Things are great, thank you. Everyone's getting in touch telling us the last great thing they ate. For Isabella, it was a Black Forest chocolate cake. Not helping my hunger pangs this afternoon. Chef, I know you spend all day eating and tasting and sampling and creating, but when you do get a night off, do you go out or do you stay in? And what was the last great thing you ate?
Well, to be honest with you, now I cannot go anywhere because my daughter was just born a few weeks ago.
Oh, congratulations!
Thank you so much. But before that, I was going with my wife. We was enjoying the restaurants in Dubai. I was enjoying more than now. Now I need to stay at home because she's too little.
Chef, life has changed significantly. Yeah. What's good for you, though, is you work late hours, so you can do all the night feeds. I'm sure your wife has thought of this. This could be a little tag team situation. You'll be up. You might as well, you know, put yourself to good use.
Yeah, that is the problem. It's to work during the night when I reach home. Everybody's already sleeping.
It's
the life of the chef. I cannot complain.
It's a hard life. It is a hard life. And, you know, luckily lots of chefs have lots of passion that gets them through all of that, because you are the guys and you and, you know, the team, wait staff, you know, operations guys, you're the ones that are working when we're having a weekend or we're on holiday, we're celebrating birthdays or special occasions. You're the ones who are creating those amazing dishes and making that time special for us. So I think we often forget that. So a big thank you. And I hope you weren't, I hope you were able to be there for when your daughter arrived and you weren't cooking up in the kitchen instead.
Well, I'm more than happy always to see all of you here and Bistro. And to let you guys go with a smile on your face. This is for me the most important.
Well, Chef, I came to Bistro des Arts a couple of months ago for a book club, actually, and ordered steak, had ribeye. It was amazing. Steak frites, so super traditional. It was enormous. The steak was, bigger than my head. So I had some and I took some home, and I came home from work the next day to find my six-year-old daughter having your steak for her dinner. She's like, she was like, this is delicious. And then she said, I do like it medium. I was like, good, I'm glad. So you don't know you're born, kid. You do not know you're born. I didn't know how to grade a steak. I didn't know what, you know, rare, medium, well done was until I was well into my 20s, never mind 6 years old. So thank you for making my six-year-old very happy indeed. So as I said, Chef, you are Portuguese. Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in Lisbon.
Well, depend,
because I prefer to live more in the countryside where I have the opportunity to enjoy better the life. In the big cities, you know, it's always running, traffic, but it's amazing living in Lisbon. It's amazing. You can go to the beach every single day. You can enjoy. You know, it's good. It's good. I enjoy a lot.
And then what was on the table? Who was cooking and what were you eating?
Well, my grandmother from my father's side, she was a great chef. And she was cooking every single day for us. And I was enjoying a lot. I was melting every time she was cooking.
Oh, like what? What were you eating?
We eat a lot of fish in Portugal, and we have like a kind of mackerel. It's not mackerel. Mm-hmm. I don't even know the name in English for that fish. And she was doing with a sauce they was calling a Espanola sauce. And really, I was melting with that one. I was melting. Looks like a simple dish, a very cheap dish, but I swear to you, it was so good.
That's because it's made with a grandmother's love. That's the secret ingredient. There's, you know, you can't buy that in the supermarket. And when did you then decide that you wanted to work in food, that this was something that you wanted to be your life?
Well, that one is a kind of a weird situation because I was supposed to be a lawyer. I start everything to be a lawyer, and after I decide this is too boring, and I was having a friend in a culinary school, and I said, well, maybe something I will love to do it, and I apply. I got accepted, and after I start to enjoy more and more every single day.
So, you know, law's loss is our gain here in Dubai, but Portugal to Dubai, it's quite a way. There is a small Portuguese community here. But how did you find yourself living in the UAE? What was your path to here?
Well, I moved to UAE almost 8 years ago when everything was more or less starting. And I moved because I was having a couple of friends Portuguese here, and they were telling me the culinary experience and the culinary world here in UAE was growing every single day. And because of this, I decided, okay, why not? Let me try. And I joined GW Markets back on time. And from there, I've been to the executive chef of La Cantine, the group head chef of Miras, and now here in Gates Hospitality, the head chef of Bistro. This is where I found myself in UAE for the last 8 years.
Now, when it comes to all things steak, and as I said, Bistro de Dart, the steak frite is amazing. You have great steak tartare. For anyone who's looking to cook some steak over the weekend, they're going to go home by the supermarket tonight. Their mouth is watering thinking about steak frite, but they're committed to staying in. Tell us how to do a great steak at home. What do we need and what do we need to do, chef?
Well, first of all, if you want a nice steak, you're just seasoning with salt. You don't put nothing else on the steak. And you have a very hot pan, a little bit of olive oil, smashed garlic, a little bit of rosemary. When the olive oil is hot, you just put the steak 5 minutes in one side, 5 minutes in another side. If it's a ribeye, it's perfect. And you just, after, you serve with a nice French fries, homemade fries, without any sauce. Because for me, if you want to eat a nice piece of beef, you don't put salt on the top. You eat like that.
Talk to us about resting, chef. Some people have, decided if it's hot, get it on the plate. You know, let's start eating. Where do you stand on letting that steak just sit?
In the restaurants, we have the opportunity to put the meat to rest. What is the meaning of rest? The blood will remain inside of the steak. What happened at home, when we cook and we start to eat the steak straight away, when we are cutting, the meat is releasing a lot of blood because it didn't have enough time to stay there at the correct temperature to keep the juices inside. In the restaurants, because we have these facilities to do it, when you receive the steak to your plate and you start to slice, you have all the juices inside and you don't have all that blood in the plate. This is the meaning of resting, what is very difficult to do at home. But here in Bistro, we have a steak days. You are keeping speaking about the steaks. We have a steak days on Sunday.
Steak day on Sunday, right. Sold.
Yeah, you can come and you have the steak treats. This is one of our activations.
We will have the Helen Farmer Supper Club someday soon when we can. We've got Chef Garcia with us live on the line.
The Chef's Table.
Joined this afternoon by chef and a new dad, Chef Garcia, the head chef at Bistro des Arts, talking through how to make that perfect steak at home. Can I ask, chef, coming from a Portuguese background, Bistro des Arts is quite a traditional French steak, frite steak tartare. How do you feel like you put your own stamp on the menu?
Well, as a French cuisine, mainly what we do here in Bistro is South France. And it's very similar than the Portuguese cuisine. Very, very similar. And when I accepted the offer to come to Bistro, they was wondering if we will be able to cook French cuisine. I said, of course, it's the same of what we do in Portugal. And the dishes we have here, mainly the new menu, started a few days back. We have a dish I believe is one of my favorites. And as per the comments of the guests until now, it's amazing. Is the casserole du pêcheur, where it is based of seafood. shrimps, clams, calamari, sea bass, a lot of tomato and seafood broth. And, you know, for me, this is the best. And this is a perfect example where the Portuguese cuisine is matching with the French cuisine.
Great question on 4001 from Isbin saying, does chef reverse sear? It has changed my steak game completely. Can you explain what a reverse sear is and if it's one that you've tried?
Sorry again. No, I couldn't hear you.
The reverse sear. Have you heard of this?
The reverse sear?
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, no, it's the first time.
Okay, I will talk you through it. What? Because I saw this on a cooking show recently. I know Isbin is a bit of a fan of cookery shows as well. So with a steak, it kind of removes surface moisture. So you start in a low oven and then end in a hot pan on the stovetop. So you sear at the end, so you get cooked meat, but with that kind of crisp, burnished crust. Does that make sense? And whereas inside, it's not fully cooked through. So it's like slow cooking and then finishing with a hot sear.
Yes, correct. It looks like a proper sous vide type.
Yes, exactly.
I did already. And to be honest, it's very good, but I still prefer sear the meat à la minute.
À la minute, spoken.
The old technique.
So apart from your steak frites and the new seafood that is on the menu, if someone's going to come to Bistro de Tarte over the weekend, do you feel like there's a dish on that menu that if someone was to eat it, they would really understand you as a chef, your foodie philosophy, and really understand the restaurant?
Yes. I have one of the dishes I will have always in all the menus, as a matter if it's bistro or no, is the tuna tartare with a sauce. Took me time to finalize. Is a base of soya and rice vinegar. Mm-hmm. For me, that is the dish. It's identify me. And it's one of the dishes now starts to identify bistro as one of the best culinary experience in Dubai as a bistro, as a casual concept.
Tuna tartare sold. Okay, chef, last question. And I've got to be honest, it's probably the hardest. Imagine, and I know you don't want to be separated from your wife and your newborn baby, but imagine I'm going to send you to a desert island, but it's a rubbish one. The food is absolutely terrible. You're not going to be, you know, spearfishing. You are going to be, you know, you'd be desperate. You'd be dreaming if you saw a coconut. The food's terrible. But the night before I cast you off to this desert island, you can have the meal of your dreams. Starter, main, dessert. It can be food from your childhood, food from a restaurant you've been to. It could be a dish that you've never tried before but have always wanted to eat. What three courses would you order?
You're going to be surprised with my answer. You're going to be surprised. I will avoid all these three courses meal to have a very good hot bread with butter.
You are my spirit animal. I was just saying earlier, my favorite food, baguette and butter. I'm absolute best answer I could have wished for. Truly, chef.
Well,
fantastic. No dessert?
Sorry, but I'm more honest than this is impossible. I will avoid all the set menu courses, degustation menus. A nice piece of bread and butter.
Do you have a sweet tooth at all?
Yes.
Okay, I'll allow you baguette and then a dessert. What would you have?
Baguette.
A baguette.
I don't like desserts. I don't like desserts.
Okay, so three courses of baguette. In the past, we've had three courses of dessert. We've had steak. We've had cheese platters for everything. But I have to say, bread and butter is a first. Chef Gatia, thank you so much for being with us. I know Thursdays are super busy in the kitchen. I'm going to let you get back to your crew. Enjoy the weekend with the family and thank you for sharing your inspirations. It's been an absolute pleasure. I hope your tummy is rumbling as much as mine is. I'm now desperate for a steak and maybe a baguette too.
This is Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Join the conversation
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
You can tune in to Afternoons with me, Helen Farmer, live on Dubai Eye 103.8, Sunday to Thursday between 2 and 5. Don't forget to rate and subscribe to this podcast. It helps other people find us, boost us in the ratings, and you'll get it direct to your phone.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com. or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.